Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you for listening to the show, wherever you guys get it. We fucking appreciate it, man. It's been getting a lot of really sweet tweets. Loving those sweet tweets. The sweet tweets and the retweets and your emails at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. You guys have been sending some really heartfelt messages that make me really emotional. Fuck, early in the morning. Appreciate all the support, your iTunes comments and ratings on the iTunes page. If you haven't done so yet, please do it right now where you listen to the intro. 5-star rating on iTunes and a comment on the About Last Night iTunes page helps us climb the charts. And we appreciate all the love. So many great episodes coming up. I won't waste your time with that. If you're subscribed on iTunes, you'll receive the action when it comes through. God, that sounded fucking sexual. Today's episode is returning guest Ben Glebe. That's right, baby. Ben Glebe, the host of Game Show Network's Idiot Test. I think now in its third season. You know Ben from Chelsea Lately, Comedy Central. He has a new Showtime special coming out June 3rd on Showtime. It's called Neurotic Gangster, which if you know Ben, that's an appropriate title. He is a neurotic Jew, and by Jew I mean gangster. Ben's hilarious. Check out that special June 3rd on Showtime. And this episode's great. We just Ben just brings it, especially in the political realm. He gave us some nice, hilarious, and inebriated political rants. We talked about the Game Show Network. We talked just a lot. Ben is a great yes ander. We went on a lot of really fun tangents, and it was a lot of fun. Also, my childhood buddy Steve Aguilar stopped by. I've been best friends with Steve since, Jesus, man, since we went to music camp in the fifth grade. Then we did all of the musicals in high school together at Shorecrest High School up in Shoreline, Washington, where I grew up. And Steve is now in L.A., killing it as a music producer. He worked on the Head and the Heart's debut album, which took them to fucking, you know, new heights. He worked on Away from the World, the Dave Matthews Band album. I think that was their last album. Yeah. Those are just, I mean, naming a few. Go to his website, StephenAguilar.com, and see everything he's working on. And also, if you need somebody to produce your shit, he is maybe the best person I know. Great dude, also super funny. He'll come on at another point for a full episode, but he joined us for some fun and some stories and what fifth grade Adam was like, which was interesting to hear, and it was a lot of fun. So enjoy this episode. Check out Ben Glebe's new special, June 3rd, Neurotic Gangster on Showtime. And follow Ben Glebe on Twitter, @BenGlebe. Follow Steve on Twitter, @SJAguilar. Follow me on Twitter, @AdamRayComedy. Brad is @FunnyBrad. The podcast, @LNPodcast. Shit, man. Tour dates this weekend. I'm in San Diego at American Comedy Company, June 3rd through the 5th. Two shows Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday. I love American Comedy Company. I'm coming back, bringing Avery Pearson to do some music, bringing Quincy Jones to feature. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets at AmericanComedyCompany.com. That's June 3rd through the 5th. Brad Williams, June 2nd through the 4th, is in Brea at the Brea Improv. Get your tickets at Brea. I'm sorry, improv.com, June 2nd through the 4th. Go see Brad. Bring your ALN merch when you come to these shows, baby. We'll sign it for you at stoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com for all your ALN shirts, mugs, hats, posters, and new promo pics coming up. We just took some with our girl, Nicole Bisek. We took some ET photos, like Brad in a basket with... It's, oh my God. I think I posted on my Instagram at AdamRay33, but go check that out. They'll be out soon. You guys can pick those up and support the pod that way. New fan of the week coming Thursday. New episodes coming. Season finale of Separation Anxiety, by the way, is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. TBS. We don't know if we're doing another season yet, but I'm sure tomorrow's night's ratings will contribute to that happening. So tune in, TBS, 10 p.m., Separation Anxiety, season finale. I think that's it. All right, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with my buddy Steve Aguilar and the one and only Ben Glebe.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast. Breakfast, Brad Williams.
it's about last night.
That's how I think when you invite a girl over, you just kind of say like, all right, you don't have a plan.
Well, now, I mean, well, you don't because you have a living girlfriend.
Yes, I do.
Now, is that an insult to say living girlfriend?
No, I don't think it's an insult to say that I've somehow tricked a woman to share the same establishment as me.
At this stage in the game, in life, it is impressive. The more dudes that I know that have women living with them,
yeah,
A, makes me sadder about my life. I say that in jest. I'm actually very content with where I'm at. Well, but I do. But it makes it makes the microscope bigger as far as like, oh, maybe
that should be something I'm doing now.
Yeah, yeah. But also I had a roommate for all my life, pretty much.
Yeah,
even so when I lived with my mom.
You need time to be able to jerk off all over your apartment without the fear of being caught.
Can I be honest? When my roommate, which was the roommate that moved out that made my situation finally be solo.
Yeah,
one of the first things I don't know if this is a perverted thought or just a normal human being thought or mm-hmm. just a dude thought. Mm-hmm. But literally the moment when I like sat down after my mom had left and came down and tried to insert her motherly like decorative ideas
right.
and overly Jewish suggestions like you should put a picture of a rabbi above your bathroom. I'm like, Mom, what time does your flight leave? After all that happened and I got a new couch and everything, I settled and I go, everything is different and it's new and it's mm-hmm. just me. I had about 8 seconds of, man, I'm an adult. And then on second nine, I go, I can jerk off anywhere. So
isn't that sad that kind of, I don't know if it's sad or just
sad or incredible.
Yeah. And maybe it goes back to just sort of some sort of primal, like I've got to mark my territory now.
Is that what it is?
Jerk off in every room. I don't know.
No one will wear this sock again.
This sock is mine. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
What's the weirdest thing you've jerked off into?
Wow,
and you know what? As I heard myself ask that question, I realized I've never asked you that question before.
That is a very weird question. I feel like that is a game show that Pat Sajak should host. What is the weirdest thing you've jerked off into?
Well, let's be honest. Wheel of Fortune will come to an end.
Absolutely.
Because nothing lasts forever.
No. So what are you going to do after that, Pat?
What are you going to do, Pat? Hey, dude.
You're not going to have another talk show again. That one failed.
He had a talk show?
He had a late night talk show. Yeah, it was like him, Chevy Chase, and Magic Johnson are all competing for like worst talk shows ever.
Okay, for a second I thought they were all on the same talk show, and I was like, how did that not get syndicated?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Because let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's when you sit down to go, all right, I'm going to come somewhere. Is it going, like, do you go to the dirty clothes pile, or do you go get a new shirt, or do you get just paper towel, or do you get like an old script that you didn't get the job from? That's what I would do. I'd be like, oh, really? Oh, really, ABC?
Yeah.
here's what I think of your single camera comedy.
You know what? I did the Greg Fitzsimmons move one time. And the Greg Fitzsimmons move is when you are very tense before a flight. You go into the bathroom that is on the plane. And before you take off, you make a little deposit.
All right. Well, don't say deposit.
You make a little cum stain.
Jesus.
You make a little.
Well, that does sound better.
You jerked off
in a fucking airplane bathroom?
I mean, some might say I joined the Mile High Club. I'm saying not technically, but I mean, come on.
All right.
It relaxed me. Some people use Xanax.
Hey man, so does the hot towel. But maybe you were in coach.
I don't have that TBS money yet.
By the way, don't feel bad about it. I recently was on a flight and was able to upgrade to first class, and it is the best. And I never want to fly not first class again because it's the accessibility and the immediacy that you can board the plane. Because waiting is, I have no problem, and I'm not, it's not I need to feel better than or a status thing. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes when they are calling out like gold medallion plus super members, mm-hmm. super members, and I hear that and I don't step forward, I go, oh, you're not even super, super.
Yeah.
You know, like you take it upon yourself to go, what am I doing wrong
right.
that I couldn't get into those first three categories?
And especially when they go, Tony Danza fan club members, and you're still and not I'm stepping still up. Not- you're like, hey, what's going wrong with your life, Adam
yeah, yeah,
Ray?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I have an upgrade to first class story.
Well, let me finish mine
okay.
real quick.
Yeah.
It's quick. It's just okay. basically shedding a light on the, and I've been this person before, where you walk through and first class is all seated.
Yep.
And what do you do in first class once you're seated? You get on your phone, you set yeah. up your games, whatever,
right.
your book.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just chowing down on some food that you couldn't finish in the terminal.
Sure.
But everyone's coming through. And yep. at some point, there's a traffic jam, and yep. people are just standing right next to you.
And especially if you've got that aisle seat, they are like, their balls are in your face.
The balls are in your face. Well, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely in your face.
which was a cut segment from NBA Inside Stuff.
Balls in your face?
Balls in your face.
I'm Ahmad Rashad, and here's Patrick Ewing's nuts in your grill. But they make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
And you can't not stay. And there's like this unspoken, it's the most beautifully awkward shit ever, because people just stare at you. And nobody in first class says what up to the people standing in line who are going to go sit and coach. You don't look at them and go, hey. But the people in coach, I feel like it's almost like that's your opportunity, because
right.
you're standing up, they're seated.
Yeah.
It's your only chance to look down on them,
yeah.
is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And a woman on my flight back from New York is walking through, and she looks at me just as I've received my hot towel. Which,
yeah.
let me just say this first of all. I'm never going to be in a situation where I demand a hot towel.
No.
But if it's given to me, I'm going to take it.
Because
I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, and whoever refuses a hot towel, it's delightful.
It's delightful.
I mean, all right. Ladies, quick tip. If you want the man to never leave, when sex is done, come back with a hot towel.
I mean,
oh,
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would be the best.
That's, yes. So.
If you want us to be in the first class section of your pussy, hot towel. Hot towel at the end of it. I'm making that proclamation right here.
I feel like
right
we just
here.
Lost six listeners.
Yeah, maybe.
So this woman walks by.
Yes.
I remove the hot towel from my face.
Yes.
I couldn't have done it in a more posh manner, too. I think I pulled it off with like two
you
fingers.
You just like slowly peel it down. Like,
however,
like you're in a spa.
However I did it, it was a piece of shit move. Literally, as I pulled it down
yeah.
and like took a sigh and looked up, there was a woman hovering above me
yeah.
who had probably been in the aisle for a couple minutes.
Right.
And she's staring at me and she goes, must be nice. And
oh,
then keeps walking.
Bitch.
And then keeps walking.
Yes.
And I go, I wanted to almost say something, but I was like, no, dude, you don't. That was, she gets to do that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
again, that's her.
Yeah.
You know, that's her. You get a moment when you walk by first class to
yeah.
have some sort of a give your commentary.
Yeah,
deflect your anger for not.
Well, because that's what we like. Okay, because you and I have had plenty of times flying coach. We still do.
Thousands.
We still
the amount
do.
Of times I have not flied first class.
Yeah.
Are outweighed by the amount
yeah.
of times I've
flown
coach.
Every time you fly coach and you walk through the first class aisle, you're always staring at those people like, well, what did you do to earn this?
Yeah.
Why are you better than me?
You fantasize about a better life, man.
Yeah. So, of
you
course.
Do, and you size people up.
Yeah.
There's people I've seen in first class, I'm like, oh, dude, this is daddy's money.
Absolutely.
You don't even deserve
absolutely.
That seat.
Absolutely.
Look at you in your sweatpants.
Yeah, or like, oh, your job paid for this. You didn't do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, your job, yes.
You
sunglasses on the flight.
Yeah.
Even though that's me 90% of my flights. When they're
yeah.
early.
Yes.
Because then I can avoid eye contact.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Maybe the greatest moment I've ever had on a plane happened to me about a month ago. Where I fly a lot, I
yeah.
travel a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I am an executive platinum member.
Are you really?
Executive platinum of American Airlines.
No,
me. I feel like I have to say it like this.
How many?
I feel like I have to say it like Bud Freeman.
executive platinum. How many?
Yeah, you have to fly over 100. I think it's 150,000 miles in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot.
Or one dwarf river dance in the middle of the plane, in the middle of the aisle.
Listen.
To where they go, look, free flights for a year. That was entertaining out of nowhere.
Pretty much. So I go.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, that's a lot of traveling, man.
You just said that like such
I just
an
said it
old
like
a, weathered.
Yeah, I just said it like a blues singer from Chicago. Like, that's a lot of traffic.
How dare you have that timbre in your voice? You've traveled a lot, but you haven't had the journeys of one John Popper. You got nothing on Blues Traveler.
If I had a nickel. So.
Which coincidentally is a Blues Traveler song.
It is, actually. So I'm getting on this flight, and this is a Sunday flight back from Dallas.
Yep.
And if you guys ever want to meet a comedian, get on a Sunday flight back from Dallas to L.A. It's comedian air, because we're all coming home from the road. We're all taking those flights. And Dallas, because it's one of the hubs for American Airlines.
Yep.
So on this flight was myself, Sandy Danto,
yep,
our friend of the podcast.
Friend of the pod.
Sandy Danto. Tony Rock. And D.L. Hughley.
Yeah.
And Pauly Shore.
Wow.
So we're all like...
Merry fuck kill. I mean, I don't know. This is a toss-up.
I would marry Pauly. I would,
yeah, you know why? Because he'd always make you laugh.
Yeah, always make you laugh.
And would, and sense of humor is key, yeah, as you get older.
I would fuck DL because he's got great crowd work.
Also, great crowd work. Also, you've always wanted to fuck a black guy.
Absolutely, sure. Who doesn't? And then I would kill myself. That's what I would do.
Oh, my God. I did not see that coming.
That's what I would do for that Mary fuck kill.
You know what, though? And that might be the only instance in which I would not be sad about you killing yourself.
You're like, well, he peaked.
What happened with Brad? Did he fuck D.L. Hoogly last night? Wait, Hoogly?
Hoogly? Hoogly? That sounds like something the boogeyman says.
Hoogly.
I'm terrified of you, D.L.
Oh, he
Hoogly?
Gave
me... So we're all just sitting there like getting ready to board. We're all kind of looking at each other like, wow, this is kind of cool.
Yeah,
all these comics are on, and of course we're all in the back of our head saying, wow, if the plane crashes, who the fuck gets top billing here?
So funny.
Yeah,
top billing on the news.
Yeah, like who died? Like, you know,
comedian thought, by the way.
Right,
like if there's a bunch of who dies, who gets mentioned first,
yeah,
in the.
Yeah,
you know, the in memoriam.
Well, is beloved comedian D.L. Hughley.
Hughley.
D.L. Hughley died in a plane crash.
It probably would be D.L.
Brad Williams also on there, but D.L. Hughley,
you'd be in there. Hey, yeah, after the second special,
sure. Absolutely.
You might get top billing.
I hope so.
Do we have an air date for the special yet?
Not specifically yet. We will. It's looking like May.
Can we announce the information that we went out and got a drink to celebrate?
Yes, we can. We can do that.
So,
and then we will get back to the story, which there is a moment that was like really awesome.
We'll just finish that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I get upgraded to first class.
Yeah.
And DL is in first class.
Now, when people see you get upgraded,
yeah, they think, well, that's a make a wish kid.
I didn't want to say, but like
that was his dream. Some people want to meet John Cena. Some people want a hot towel before they die.
This kid wanted a hot towel.
I just wanted a hot towel.
Early Sprite.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted a hot towel and a Sprite before anyone else sits down. That's all I wanted.
That's awesome. You're also a lot of fun to travel with, because the few flights we've been on together,
mm-hmm,
you chum it up with everybody, and like it's almost like Brad. I don't know. It's also pre your morning radio days, where,
yeah,
you're just like very quick and a good banterer. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like 7 a.m. We were at the airport, and you're having a back and forth with the person who's checking if there was like standby availability for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
then people in line you're staying with, you start like, you also like are very aware of your audible levels. So when you're,
yeah,
making jokes, they're not just for me. They're for the people in line too.
Absolutely.
And then people start laughing, and then you turn around. Next thing I know, like Brad's getting back rubs while he's waiting to board the plane.
Sure. Why not? I mean, because I know that it's usually early. People come in, they see a dwarf on their flight, which is like,
they think I'm not dying.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? I'm good on this one. I'm fantastic.
It's God graced his presence.
Yeah, it's, yeah, way better than a therapy dog. So I get upgraded, and I'm sitting in first class, and Tony Rock is in first class, and then D.L. Hoogly, he is. Also,
I will
first
never
class.
Not call him that again.
Yeah. He is also in first class. And then Pauly walks by. And Pauly, sorry to out you, Pauly, but Pauly was in coach.
Ooh.
So maybe because he had to pay for Sandy's ticket too.
Okay.
So that would make sense.
Yeah.
So Paulie and Sandy both go back to coach, and Paulie just has this moment where he stops in front of me. He's like, "Not cool, buddy. Oh. Not cool. Oh. You get the first class, and I gotta go to coach, buddy. That's not cool. You get to kick it up here with DL. I want to kick it with DL, buddy." And then he—that's
all Paulie wants.
Yeah, and then he walks to the back, and there's a part of me that's just kind of like, yeah. I don't know why that made me feel good, but it made me—it's some sort of sick Schadenfreude thing where I see Paulie Shore, a comedian who I admire,
he's looked up to.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going to avoid the obvious look up to joke. But then. That we, and by saying that, I just told it.
Yeah,
but,
it's all right.
Yeah, but like, I've looked up to, I watch his movies, I respect it. Like,
yeah,
for
it was
all
a little
stuff.
Bit of a.
Yeah, it was kind of like, hey, I'm doing
yeah,
something
yeah,
in this
I'm on
business.
Your level.
Yeah, I'm doing something. And speaking of doing something in this business, the reason why we had a drink the other night, why you called me and said, Brad, we're going out.
Yeah.
We're going out because I found out.
You wouldn't
out,
have otherwise, right?
No, I would have just stayed home and had mac and cheese with the aforementioned live-in girlfriend.
Which also would have been great.
Which would have been fantastic.
Let's not knock your girl or mac and cheese.
Not at all.
Both two things I'm a fan of.
Props to both.
But you were pumped when I was like, let's go. Because it's worthy of it.
Yes. We found out that for the new special that Showtime is going to open up.
Can you announce the title?
I can. Yeah. I will announce the new special title right now. I think this is the first time I've ever done this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The title of the new special is going to be Brad Williams' Daddy Issues, and it's going to be on Showtime.
Really quick, I thought it was going to be called Brad Williams, Adam Ray's Best Friend. And I got to be honest, I'm really fucking upset about what I just heard.
We threw that around in a focus group, and they thought that Adam Ray's Best Friend, while it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside,
yeah,
gets you kind of confused on like, what comic is going to be on stage?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, am I going to see a good-looking Jewish guy, or am I going to see a bouncing dwarf?
Bouncing dwarf.
I mean, normally we're bouncing.
Yeah, you bounce.
Yeah, let's be honest.
When you walk, you bounce.
I bounce. So.
Brad Williams' Daddy Issues.
Yep, Brad Williams' Daddy Issues.
I love that title, especially because I know that there's some material that includes your father.
Yes. So, and that was one of the main reasons why we came up with that title. It's going to be
That's incredible.
Brad Williams' Daddy Issues, and Showtime recently told me that to give some press for this special, they are going to give me my own billboard on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah! Come on! Give it up! That's amazing. A billboard. A fucking billboard.
So I get a billboard. Like the
dude,
same like
you
like
get
the
a billboard.
Same
you
way.
Know, Target has a billboard.
Right! And how big am I going to look on the billboard? It better not be actual size. I will be so pissed off if they like trace my outline and it's just like a little 4-foot stick
Honey,
figure.
I shrunk the billboard, kid.
And I'm just on there like, you son of a bitch, Showtime.
No way.
You got me.
And your location. It's like they gave you the address where it's going to be in between. It's basically going to be in the heart of Sunset when, if you haven't driven down Sunset Boulevard, there's a chunk, it's almost billboard row, if you will, where it's when the promotions for TV shows or movies just steps it up a notch. You know, like on Sunset, all the way down Sunset, there's a lot of billboards.
Yep.
But, you know, the billboard at Highland and Sunset is, you know, that might be for, hey man, I don't know, Dawson's Creek coming out on DVD.
Which is huge.
Which is huge.
Yes, which is huge.
But it's not comedy special, Showtime huge.
Yeah, I mean, any time that I can walk in the territory of Vanderbeek, which was a great book.
Walk in the territory of Vanderbeek?
Yeah, anytime I can get some Vanderbeek type Hollywood love, that's going to be great. And and the section of Sunset where it's going to be is, I think, near the Comedy Store. So,
Brad, it's incredible. And that's why when you told me that, I go, we got to go have a drink.
Because
that's a big deal. There's, you know, you get many victories in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
That is one. Because, I mean, I remember driving down Sunset and seeing billboards for a bunch, like when Amy Schumer had her HBO special that came out.
Yeah.
She had a billboard, and Whitney Cummings had one. And, and just you see shows. And listen. I know that it's just going to be one billboard, and all it is a giant stroke of the ego. I know that's what it is. It's just me whipping out my giant dwarf cock in the middle of Hollywood saying, look at this! That's
if
all it is.
If that's all the billboard is. I mean, what if it was called Daddy Issues and it was just you naked, but they blurred out the cock? Can I be honest?
I'm just saying, look at this!
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
There's not one person who wouldn't watch that. I know that the what you're talking about picture-wise for the billboard is going to be very eye-drawing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But again, I will second that with saying that you, naked.
Just naked with a blur,
with a blurred out cock.
With a blurred out dick that goes past the knee.
How dare you?
What? How dare you? That's truth.
Yeah,
that,
all right.
That's truth, all you right. Son of a bitch.
All right, I'll call your seventh grade girlfriend.
We'll find out. Yeah, man. So it was a big moment.
It's a big moment.
It was really cool to find out, and props to Showtime, because I had hinted at it.
Brought that up.
Yes.
Good for you.
I brought it up at the special saying, hey, guys, you know, this is my second special for you guys. Billboard.
How are we taking up a notch? And by the way, let that be a reminder to all you comics, young comics, you know, Staples employees. You got to think outside the box when you're trying to get shit done.
Yeah, I mean, Staples employees deserve a billboard. I got someone that sold me some toner last week that was just unbelievable.
Yeah,
so it was so nice. So
you want to put Chad in
Chad
from
shout out
Chad in toner?
Yes, Chad in ink from on the Staples of Ventura.
God.
The same Staples that has an action figure that looks strangely like you dressed in a Kobe Bryant jersey. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, you. Oh yeah. Brad went to Staples. I don't know why you were there. Probably to pick up some toner.
Pick up some toner.
And he sends me a picture of a, what was it? It was a Lakers figurine.
Yeah, it was. And I put it on my Instagram. Check it out at Brad Williams Comic. And yeah, it is Adam Ray in a Kobe Bryant jersey. And you saw the picture. It looks like you. And I'm just like, what?
Dear Diary.
Yeah, like do you know that they're using your image, Adam Ray?
Flattered that you think my arms are that toned.
I mean, they were pretty. Like, it had the hair, it had the beard, it had the jump shot.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean,
it had the quick fat backstory.
On the back of the jersey, it said quick fat. I was like, hey, hey. The guy had a tattoo on his shin that said, I was in the heat. You know, it was pretty authentic. pretty damn authentic.
And the fact that you didn't buy it made me very upset.
It was.
Why you wouldn't have a figurine of me in your apartment. And not name your special after me? Wow, dude. Guess what?
Well,
putting this friendship on pause.
Well, I mean, if I had bought that figurine, then I could truly give you that answer, and it would no longer be the airplane bathroom of the weirdest thing that I have come on.
Oh boy! I don't know if I'd be flattered or disrespected. You, because then I would have to say this statement: you came on my figurine. And I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that out loud. I don't want to say that in my head. I don't want to say it on a podcast. And you've made me do all three.
That sounds like something that the person in the insane asylum says as he's rocking back and forth, like, he came on my figurine. He came on my figurine.
Oh, God.
He came on my figurine.
Cut to me. That's what pushes me over the edge. It's one thing to buy my figurine. It's one thing to buy a mini-me. But to come on mini-me. Oh, God.
So yeah, that was a moment in that Staples. That was
so
weird.
you'll get a premiere date in.
Yep, I should get a premiere date soon. Obviously, I'll announce it on the podcast, and I'll tell you guys when that you can see me not in a vest this time, but in a very spiffy leather jacket.
Yeah, you really went Hollywood on us.
I hired a stylist, man.
Did you really?
I hired a stylist. I said, you know what? I'm gonna do this thing. I'm gonna do a special. I want a stylist, and I hired a very lovely gay man named Roberto. That is his real name. And you know what? When Roberto tells you that you're going to wear a tie and a jacket, I've never heard it be called a jacket before.
No, but that's what it is.
But he called it a tie and a lovely leather jacket. I'm like, you know what, Roberto? I believe you. I smell what the Roberto is cooking. And I think he made me look good.
Why do gay men just know how to dress way better than we do?
I don't know, but it's so much better. And
because you look sharp, man.
And you know this because what were the color pants that I wore in my special?
A purple
pants. Adam Ray inspired. So
yeah, for years you made fun of my purple pants, and then I lost them, and then oops, Brad's sporting them on a special, not titled about me.
Yep.
What a fucking double whammy, so, dude. Where's my pants and names a special after himself? Selfish piece of shit, table
and,
for one.
It doesn't come on my figurine.
It doesn't come on my figurine. Getting a real strong impression that this friendship is taking a detour down passive aggressive, no thanks boulevard.
It's strictly one way at this point.
Steve, you want to come? Yeah.
But then you had your big premiere.
And my big premiere.
Yeah, your show, Separation Anxiety, which we've been talking about for weeks in the podcast, but your show premiered.
My show premiered on TBS, and you watched it.
I did. I think it's then I'm saying this not as a guy that's sitting a few feet from you, which is probably in your arm's length if you decided to hit me, but I truly enjoyed the show. It's fun. It's different. You haven't seen. I love the way that the person with you is just like, ah, fuck it, I'll play for $2,500, yeah. Whatever. It's just like, it's not life changing money. And then to see the look on the face of their partner, just like, oh my God, we could be losing $100,000.
It's an original concept, and I think that's what we're, you know, hoping that people jump on board with.
But
so far, so good. I haven't gotten any weird celebrity tweets yet, which I'm hoping for, you know?
Okay.
I'm hoping that, like, you know, I don't know, like, Kirk Cameron becomes a fan and tweets at me and goes, hey, at Adam Ray Comedy, big fan. And then I can tweet back, hey, at Kirk Cameron, fuck off. You know what I'm saying? Fuck
shots,
off or I'll come suck your dick.
Shots
you
fired.
Fucking, you gay-hating
shots
piece of shit.
Shots fired from Adam Ray.
No, we might edit this out, but probably not, because I've seen that guy speak candidly and live
about
his disapproval of...
Yeah, would there be a celebrity that if they were like, hey, Adam Ray, like, I saw the show, I'm a big fan, that you would just be angry about? That you would just be like, oh, man, now they're endorsing me? Like, the same way...
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the same way that the guy from the Klan endorsed Donald Trump, and then Trump didn't immediately deny it, you would immediately deny Trump endorsed. He was like, Adam Ray, I watched Separation Anxiety, and while $100,000 is nothing to me, Adam, it's nothing. I wipe my ass every day with the money that these people play hard for on your show. But I love you. Improvisational skills. You have a very good beard. You have a very good
huge beard.
It's a huge beard. So
I would not be pumped. I would block him on Twitter, and then I would immediately start, wondering where the Katy Perry retweets are.
You hear that, Katy Perry? Well, obviously you hear that.
How many times do I have to say her name on this podcast before she shows up?
You would think that with all the people that listen to this podcast, that one of you guys would know Katy Perry.
One person that might know Katy Perry because of his involvement in the music business, but also has known me prior to my love for Katy Perry. Who is making his first appearance on the podcast.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Get close to that mic, buddy. Who's joining us right now? Well, it's one of my best friends from childhood, high school, currently. Let's see if we were going to give people a little bit of backstory on you. Let's see. We went to music camp together.
That's true. Yep.
Burton Music Camp.
Burton Music Camp. Fashion Island.
Adam Ray went to music camp?
That's right.
What did you play?
The saxophone.
That's not true.
Well,
like, that's not even
he
true.
He tried to say a cool instrument.
He did, and then you just shot it down.
Like, let's
I'm
be
so
honest.
Sorry. I
you
have.
Played the piccolo.
No, we didn't coordinate before this, but it was a clarinet.
It was a clarinet. The saxophone was the instrument that I got to play where they gave you one. There was one day where they go, what's your fantasy instrument? What's the instrument your parents wish you could play? I swear to God, because my mom goes, when I left, she goes, if you could learn the saxophone while you're there, that'd be great.
In a week.
Is that true?
Yeah, dude. Just
that's
pick
hilarious.
It up.
Because she bought me this shitty saxophone from Kennelly Keys, which was a music store in Seattle. Shout out if you want to sponsor the podcast. I hope you're still around. You're probably not, because that was the mid-90s and business seemed slow, even when I walked into that store and brought reeds from you guys for my clarinet, which were overpriced, and that's probably why I went out of business. But so that's where I bought my saxophone from, and it was the worst ever. Because you were supposed to show up to camp. Do you remember that? With a secondary instrument.
Nope, didn't know that, because I did not... show up with a second.
What did you show up with?
I showed up with a trumpet because I played the trumpet.
That's right.
Introduce the man. Say his
my
name.
Buddy, okay, so,
oh, yeah,
so
right.
Here we go. So met in Burt Music Camp, became pals, then didn't see each other again until high school.
Yep, that's right.
To high school, and then we were both in the our plays, our drama production.
Yep.
And then
was he also in Greece?
Yes.
I was in Greece.
He was in Greece. That's,
oh, wow.
That's, I think that was the first show.
So
that's not true.
No. What was the first show?
We don't know. Pippi.
Pippi Longstocking.
That's what it was.
Wow.
Pippi
so Longstocking. You played Danny Zuko, and you, based on your skin color. Oh, shit.
Yep. Yep. Well, due to segregation, I was actually at a different school. and so they would just kind of cut to.
I wonder.
It was
what,
an adaptation. I mean, well, they kind of.
It was very loose.
They kind of had to edit the songs a little bit. Like, right. I wonder what the Mexicans are doing.
Yep. Yeah. That's. That doesn't really sound like Greece. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Did they wipe up a stain?
Right.
Tell me more.
That's
man, I have such disdain.
That's bradwilliams at gmail.com for all of your inquiries and racial.
Yeah, if you'd like to produce.
Hey, man, why are you making fun of my people on your podcast, man?
Right.
So, yeah, that's an accent.
Still don't even know my name.
So, if you want to
produce Brad's version at your high school.
No, here it is. Here it is. Grease Jr.
Well done, sir.
So,
we met
at Pippi Longstocking. We did Grease. We did Into the Woods.
Yep.
We did The Wiz. We'll get into all this.
Sure. Yeah. That's going to be the
phenomenal
the bulk of this.
Phenomenal actor, improviser. Musician, now music producer.
Nice.
Have you heard of a band called The Head and the Heart? Yeah, you have. Our guest today produced their first album and is, you know what, I'm going to say it, highly responsible for their success. He worked on the last Dave Matthews Band album. He's doing a ton of amazing shit, and he's a phenomenal musician himself. And the man I'm talking about.
Dramatic pause.
Steve Aguilar.
Yeah. I thought you were going to make me say my own name. I didn't.
Steve.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep,
thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Yeah,
so,
you got it.
So you guys can check out the podcast on iTunes.
Cool.
About Last Night Podcast.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
But Steve, I would like to know, because while we've had Adam Ray's mom, Puddin, on the podcast, and we got to dive and do a little bit of what Adam was like as a kid, that's got the mother filter on it,
right.
Where anything that he does is special.
Would you call my mom?
Filter. That's got the...
So you want to know if he was special?
You tell me. You tell me. What was Adam Ray like in high school? First of all, was his hair that magnificent? You son of a
you
bitch.
Know what? It was.
Yeah, just, probably more magnificent.
Just started hating you more. Okay.
Well, you're asking, by the way, the right person for the job here, because meeting in sixth grade and then all of high school, which are your formidable years, and also...
Sure.
So yeah, what was...
What's the question? Were you,
what's the question?
Were you special?
Was I great?
What was a young Adam Ray like?
So this is what I remember.
Yeah,
this is what I about Burton Music Camp.
Hell yeah.
Well, for my part, I played the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
I had this idea that that would make me cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, why the trumpet?
That's what it was.
And you picked the trumpet.
I picked the trumpet.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Listen, we're all trying to be cool. And when you're eight, which I was, that seemed like the coolest thing. And I don't know why, but I got fixated on it. And I started drawing pictures of myself playing the trumpet. And I was like,
wow.
It's true. There's this
trumpets looked like penises. So my folks had a lot of questions.
Yeah, I drew pictures of me with girls, but whatever you could do.
Sure, sure. No,
you
no
trumpet,
mine was
fine.
Like this one that my mom I think still has, and of like me playing the trumpet. And I'm like on a stage by myself, and I'm just like rocking out with this thing. And I think that was like the catalyst at that point that she was like, "All right, let's maybe get him a trumpet." Like I feel like so we went to Kennelly Keys.
Yeah.
And I started taking lessons. And so in our school district, it was in fifth grade when you start, when they're like, okay, what do you want to play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, make you play an instrument. But I didn't, You know, I wanted the cool factor, but I didn't want to actually like practice or anything.
Yeah.
So I was not good at the trumpet.
Trumpet is the instrument for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because anybody can blow into it and make a little bit of a sound.
Yep. And that's all you need to do. Because you're like, it's true. It's true. Because, you know, you're blown into it. And I felt legit, too, because we played real songs like the theme from Jurassic Park. And I remember that being like a moment where I was like, oh, This is
all I need.
Here we go.
We're doing great.
I am a musician now.
But the thing is, like, so all the other kids were starting in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I'd already been playing for 2 years, and I think I practiced maybe four times in my trumpet career.
Jesus.
So I was terrible, but I was better than all the other kids because I, you know, this was like their first time,
yep.
And this was like my ninth time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Going through the thing. So I went to Burton Music Camp. Woefully unprepared. And I remember they have you like audition and stuff, and they're like, oh, no. And so they had me like third chair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Burton was
behind two Japanese kids. It's okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're known for
trumpet?
They're known for their trumpet.
Sure.
Big brass community in Japan.
I will say there was one time when they were like trying to figure out hobbies and stuff for me and my sister to have, and all the other kids were great. And it was like, do you guys want to play a band instrument? I really wanted to play a tuba. And my dad looked at me and was like, there's no fucking way you're playing a tuba. Because A, you're gonna blow into that thing, and it's gonna send you halfway across the room.
I feel like the fear would be that you'd get stuck in it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because you know I trip, fall. Now all of a sudden I think the Jews have that story about some guy living in a whale. Right, Job. No.
Who? I think it's Jonah.
Jonah lived in a whale. Yeah.
Wow. Here's how bad of a Jew I am. I literally thought Pinocchio.
Pinocchio lived in a whale, big nose. Come on.
I love it.
Come on. He's a Jew, right?
But nobody knows this. Pinocchio's last name was Rosenbaum.
I remember that. Second Pinocchio.
Pinocchio too.
Right.
Shabbat Shalom.
Right. So yeah.
No, the tuba. I like that.
Yeah, that's a great instrument.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So Jonah lives in the whale. I live
like
in a tuba.
Like a hermit crab. Right.
And then I just have to find a bigger tuba when I outgrow that tuba.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You start with a student model. I think that's fantastic.
Wait, so
actually, you could stay with the student model.
Now, what made you not want to? So you didn't do the tuba?
No.
Then what did you do? Drums, I think, right?
Yes.
Bass drum?
I did drums, and it was great. I loved it. And it was, but the thing is with drums, I just got to beat something.
Yeah.
And that was cool. Like, it didn't involve too much skill because we were so young. It's
so
like,
much,
you just hit the drum. It's fine.
So much unnecessary testosterone as an adolescent male, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we furiously would masturbate.
By the way, are there any two funnier words put together than furiously masturbating?
No.
I mean, I'm
maybe dwarf and tuba, but
anyway, Burton Music Camp.
Yeah.
Great place.
Okay.
Too much music.
Too much music.
Way too much music. They make you be in a choir. You're always practicing. Like, I just
it's
wanted
still
to
a kid camp.
Yeah.
There was a tire swing that we went on a bunch.
Like
the only activity I remember doing.
Okay.
There was no crossbow. There was no nunchuck practice. There was no other Ninja Turtle training facility.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was.
I thought it was cool that you brought your bow. That was cool.
Hey, somebody told me there was an archery situation.
I was thinking of the Donatello.
Oh, shit. My bad.
Yeah, no problem.
How dare you get a Ninja Turtle wrong? But whatever. It's fine.
So anyway. No, but even like they had like electives, like you could take like a class, and I was like,
to learn about music,
this will be fun. And it was like, you know, you want to play the steel drum? It's like, actually,
do you
want to
get your Jamaican on?
Great. Yeah.
I thought
it was great.
I played the steel drum. It was the best.
It was the
best. That was the most fun thing.
Do they give you a joint with the steel drum, or do you have to like slowly work your way up to that?
They give you a Cool Runnings DVD.
Okay, that's like level one. Here's your Cool Runnings DVD.
Yeah.
Watch this, smoke this. You'll learn how to play this. The steel drum.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
But Adam was in my cabin my second year.
That's so right. It was
after sixth grade.
You were a veteran.
Yeah, I'd already been there.
Because I remember you told me a few things. Like you were like, hey, so just so you know, anytime you get to the camp.
That's true. Is that true?
I for sure remember you told me something about something where it was like, whether it was
this
like.
This is a great memory.
He does this. He does
like, transported.
You told me something about something.
You told me a thing about a thing. It was the best. I'll never forget it.
All right. First of all, Brad, why didn't you name your special after me? Second of all, Steve,
because then
you're wrong with what you're saying.
Totally.
And I do remember that there was... No, I do remember very vividly that like...
You said something.
All right. You know what? You said something and I was like, what? And then you were like, you got it. So,
So was that?
Are you going to call my bluff on that?
That was your first year. Did you only go 1 year?
I only went 1 year. Yeah, because I came back. My mom goes, "You didn't learn the sax, huh?" Here I was hoping I would hear.
Never again.
Never again.
So you literally had one time at band camp.
Dude, I went to band camp.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I feel like we mostly
most Jews
just like,
went to like Jubilee or something like that. Was it like
all right,
a Jubilee
well, first
camp?
Of all, I don't know how to listen, take in what you just said.
I think you need
said.
To go back and read the Book of Pinocchio again because that's...
Jubilee. Wait a minute.
Just
let
not
me
in the
just
scriptures.
Comment on the fact that there's a Jewish camp called Jubilee. Isn't there?
What the fuck? I'm so bummed that there's not. And now I will
be
dedicating
be.
The rest of my life.
Yes.
No, it's just called Jew camp or like. All right, well,
that's not
so. Never mind. I had a bad
Jubilee.
Joke. Yeah, Jubilee.
I didn't go to Jew camp, but
okay.
This what's the point Steve's trying to make is that there was too much music at a camp. There was a kids'
yeah.
camp.
Yeah,
Brad,
yeah.
You went to camp.
I did.
What were the highlights?
Let's see. Well, I went to theater camp because I was that nerd.
No
so
nerd,
I,
but also let's be honest. And Steve,
see,
we can
I
both attest to this.
I wish I had gone to theater. But we did. We did take an improv class. Did
we
you
did.
Take it with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
But let's attest to just the like the and it, this high school, college, even now, like mm-hmm. the theater world.
Yeah.
Is very incestuous.
Wait. So
tell
you,
me.
Wait.
You,
so you get
tell
there,
me what you mean by
you,
that?
You get there and you fuck your sister?
No, man. Well, if she might be your sister in the play you're doing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What I'm saying is that there's a lot of back rubs. There's a lot of. You know, sexual whatever that. That nobody knows how to, they don't know where to put it.
We're all like, we're all hoping that there's a kissing scene, and you're like,
yeah, but there's
this
also
is Fiddler on the Roof.
It's also just like, so funny. There was a kissing scene in Fiddler on the Roof.
I'm sure there was. we're all just begging for it, but yeah, there was. But that's the thing you did at camp is you went away and you're like, oh wait, no parents?
Yeah,
there's woods.
Yeah.
We can sneak off places.
See, there, I didn't. I was too good of a kid. I didn't even know that we could do that.
Well, me neither. But I knew that it was happening.
I don't think I even talked to any girls. Actually, at Burton,
there was a girl we all liked.
Maybe.
Remember her name?
Nope.
Because you remember you told me you came up to me and you were like, "Hey, that girl," and I was like, "Oh yeah." Remember that?
Yep. Nope.
This is another great memory I have of Burton.
But I do remember that there was a girl who, on the last night of camp,
yeah,
two girls who would
one
like,
cup.
That's right. No, they were like teasing me all week. Like they'd steal my hat and stuff, and
Jesus.
it was just annoying. And I remember the last night of camp. There's like a campfire and stuff, and we were like singing and stuff. And this when one of them leans over and is like, "Will you go out with me?" And I was like, "What?"
Like, wait, so Shaq was there? Because based on that impression,
yeah, she was like, "Will you go out with me?"
Kobe Bryant told me no, but I just want to know.
No, she's like whispering to me, and I was like, Dude, it's the last night at camp. Like, we live in very far away from each other.
Yeah,
I don't think so. She's like, okay, but can we be friends? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, but like really good friends. And then the other girl's
Jesus,
like, yeah,
hey.
Me too. Me too. I was like, all right, yeah,
yes.
The three of us are going to be really good friends.
Wow.
And so that was the
did
never,
you,
never
did, and you didn't.
Now we're all still very good friends.
And one of them is my wife.
You
and the
my
other
wife?
One?
No, I never talked to them again. That was our last conversation.
You didn't make a move at that point when they're like, let's be very good friends.
I was 12 years old.
You don't know what to do. You don't
if
know what
I'd
to do.
If I'd been 19
that.
Years old, I probably wouldn't have made a move.
That information is no 12 year old knows what to do with.
No,
like,
I had no idea.
Campfire suggestion.
So my memory of Adam.
Yeah, we're really good friends. So I give you my Capri Sun. Fuck that. No, that's not going to happen.
Forget it. but my main memory of Adam was just that he made me laugh harder than anybody I'd met.
Wow.
And we just like, I remember just sitting on our bunks in the cabin mm-hmm. eating candy.
Yeah.
And laughing. Like, I remember just like crying, laughing.
Do you remember anything?
But I don't
specific?
Remember like any of the jokes. I just remember that's the funniest kid. And then,
dude. I was funniest kid at camp to Steve.
It's true. It's totally true.
Funniest kid at band camp is like least retarded person at the Special Olympics. Don't be too happy about that.
Oh, shit.
I went funniest kid at band camp.
By the way, if you could see the look on my face that was then met with the look on Brad's face as I said what I said. Priceless.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Funny. You couldn't have shot me down more with how excited I was to share that sentimental history.
It's perfect for this medium.
Oh. But, you know, I do remember that. I remember we laughed a lot.
Yeah.
And then that transition.
What do you remember about me as a.
Same thing. Seven? Laughed a lot. And I remember you also were like, I remember you had the same way you do now, like a very dry, understated delivery. And I remember that. Like, remember there was a guy who was, there was a tire swing. This was the only activity I remember at band camp. There was a giant tire swing that we would go and sit on. And it, the way it was positioned, you could get pushed on it and, like, actually get some good air.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it was a little bit of a thrill ride. Okay. And at band camp, as, you know, Brad has not failed to mention, there wasn't a lot of shit going on, okay?
Right. No, this was our Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
there was some guy with a Polaroid. Like, here's your picture of you running the tire swing.
At band camp.
Yeah, it's like, well, we couldn't publish this picture because you decided to flash the camera, dipshit. But,
My defense.
The guy who controlled the tire swing, there was a guy who was like a camp counselor. Mm-hmm. He had long blonde hair. I'll never forget this. He always wore sunglasses.
I definitely forgot this.
No. Me and Faces is incredible. Mm-hmm. So had some weird Budweiser hat, long blonde hair, and sunglasses, and really high, like, cotton camp shorts, like camp counselor, like.
Was your camp counselor Matthew McConaughey from Days of Confused? Because you just described him.
Not too far from it, dude.
What I think I love about band camp. I get
don't
older.
Don't do it.
These saxophone players stay the same age.
No, I thought you were going to say, I keep getting older. These fat kids keep trying to learn saxophone and not succeeding.
All right. You just described Matthew McConaughey.
This kid was like dominated. Glebe, are you here?
Oh.
We got about 10 minutes. Sit down,
buddy.
Oh, boy.
Making an appearance.
I don't remember this one either.
Put on those headphones.
Making a return appearance on the About Last Night podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ben Glebe.
Thank you so much,
everybody.
Until you said that, I thought this was my first time on the podcast. So that's exciting.
Ben, how are you?
I'm really good.
How was downstairs?
It was great. I was just on a date. I just dropped my date off and drove back here.
Yeah.
That's how.
Can we talk about this date?
I mean, a little bit. Oh. Within reason.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you 69'd?
Yeah, that I'm comfortable with. I just didn't want you guys to know where she lives. I just wanted to keep her address quiet.
By the way, let's be clear about what I think 69 is. That means, did you buy her a drink and have a nice conversation?
Oh, yeah. At the same time.
It's 2016.
You better believe it.
Nice. That's now, was it first
convo, great drinks.
What's a first date like for a comedian in his 30s?
Well, it's kind of funny because apparently she and I had a date 3 years ago that neither of us remember that well.
You thought it was your first time.
Yeah, so enough about that topic. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're great.
Are you guys good?
Yeah, we're great.
You had a date with a girl, you're like,
everything's fresh.
We've done this before.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it all came back to me. She's great. Great, really cool
girl. She seemed like a lot of fun.
She's awesome.
At what point did you both remember that the date had...
She reminded me before the date began on text. She's like, actually, I think we went out before. I'm like, really? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, 3 years ago. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, we watched The Great Gatsby. I'm like, all right, well, here's a good reason... That's why.
Well, good. And by the way, cut to you immediately like shuffling and trying to find a new DVD because you're like, that's what we were going to do again.
That's my go-to.
That's my move, man. Nothing gets me in the mood more than people lying dead in swimming pools. That's my major thing. I love
that. That's when I go in for the kiss.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Because there's no going down from there. It can't get worse. Yeah. I mean, hopefully there is going down from there, but not that you don't understand.
We're trying to keep it clean.
Okay. No, I'm just talking about going down towards better topics of conversation conversational.
Such as the idiot test coming back.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Season 3. I can finally announce it. April 12th. Dang. Comes out on GSN, 40 more episodes, including an all-nude episode of Idiot Test. That's the truth.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, can I be honest? You're taking over that network.
Thank you.
And it's...
We're the most watched original on the network.
I know you are.
It's crazy.
That's
and then
so
I have a
awesome.
Special coming out on April 20th, Political Idiot Test, a spinoff of my show, Totally different format, different set, different everything.
Now, why I love that is because, A, you're a great host. You're a very smart dude, and you have a good balance of smart and funny host.
Thank
to
you
be
so
able
much.
To like insert funny banter with the contestants, but also maintain the gameplay.
Long dick like a red vine rope. Thank you for saying that.
You got it. But what I by the way, my favorite Tracy Chapman lyric of all time, what you just said. Long dip like a red vine rope.
That's the reason to stay here, and she won't turn right back around. That's the reason.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn back. Oh, look at that. A red dick like a long rope like a bike.
When it's all chewing, I'm going to be spitting up red for about 3 days.
Okay, well, you just made Tracy Chapman Bruce Springsteen's brother.
Yeah. Two, three, four.
A lot of people don't know that, but they are. They are
I
brothers.
Don't know that Chapman and Springsteen went
that.
To the same college. Were roommates.
They were roommates.
And Springsteen wrote Fast Car.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Ted Cruz, the three of them, all collabed on Fast Car.
What I want to know about the Idiot Test political show.
Yes.
You might be, arguably to me, the... I think you're the best political comedian.
Oh, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, dude. Because cool. you never... Because I'm not a huge political... person. Mm-hmm. I keep myself privy to enough information,
sure.
But I think anytime I learn too much, I get angry, and I can't be funny about it because now I'm just angry.
Mm-hmm.
But you find a good balance, and you also don't make people like me who don't know as much as maybe they want to or should feel stupid about the amount of info I know.
Thank
that
you,
That being
man.
Said, you are very opinionated, and I feel like what you're saying is usually tapped in and coming from a place, and maybe it's how hyped up you get about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That all being said, why do you like anything political, and why does it interest you? And then I want to hear what you think about Donald Trump.
Sure. Well, so let me just say several things about that. One, thank you for saying that. I'm glad that comes through because what I very much try, I find it very annoying when most things in the news, they talk over your head. They just try to show how smart they are constantly. And they have politicians on and they use all these inside the beltway terms that nobody fucking knows. And so I try to make politics relatable. That's what makes people not engage in the process is they think it's so inaccessible. And I just realized years ago, somewhere around the time when Bill Clinton was putting cigars in people in the Oval Office, and then the next president, George W. Bush, comes in, he's like starting wars by accident, like wrong wars that are horrible.
Oops.
I started realizing, oh, this office is actually accessible. Politicians aren't some geniuses to understand shit. They're actually much more flawed than most of us. Maybe about on par with comedians. But but you know what I mean? Compared to most people, so, they're just...
Some of us are watching The Great Gatsby twice in a three-year span and not remembering.
Yeah. But my point being is that they're not some like kind of geniuses. They literally are just normal people with normal foibles. They cheat on people. They make mistakes. They lie.
They put cigars in different orifices.
I mean, that's dirtier than anything the Kardashians have ever done publicly.
It is, and it's more relatable than anything the Kardashians have done.
So, because they have normal jobs. They actually have jobs.
Yeah.
So, basically, politics is a reality show with consequences. So, it's like the Kardashians, but they have access to bombs and guns and armies.
Once you break it down like that, does it make you really upset?
No, that's what I love. That's what makes me so excited. So,
the Kardashians with consequences. I like
that.
So, like, if it's like
consequences with a K. Exactly. Yeah.
Politics would be like if Ray J fucked Kim, and then that caused a nuke to go off.
Yes.
Okay.
Which, in a way, it did. I mean, it ruined the world. But so that's the thing is like when you realize it's people just as flawed as the Kardashians, worse at business than the Kardashians, and then they just ruin the world. So then it's just fascinating. It makes it a human story. So I become very passionate about it. It makes me angry too, of course. But it just is so, to me, the only reason I follow it is because it matters. It's like it's like reality shows, but it actually affects the future of the world. So I find it fascinating. My whole mission with the pot. I took 8 months off my podcast. I was just too busy and had enough. And I just relaunched it today. So last week on Earth is back.
The Last Week on Earth.
Yeah, yes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Last Week on Earth on the Smodcast Network.
And what do you and when you on your podcast, you do a good job of talking funny and real shit. But then you tackle a lot of like current events.
Yeah, I love to bounce between ISIS right to Justin Bieber, and they're both equal pills in our society. I'd bounce between the two, and so it's a lot of fun. I try to fill you in on what happened during the last week when making it fun and not over anybody's head, not talking down anybody. And what I think about Trump, it's fascinating. I mean, it's really the most incredible thing.
Now, just be careful because you're talking about the king of the Oompa Loompas right now.
It's a strong point. That's a strong point. He's a little taller than usual, but orange as fuck.
I mean, you know, Brad and I were talking about this earlier, and because, you know, we were talking about maybe just discussing it in general on the podcast, and we both were kind of like, oh, maybe it's like played out. But at the same time, you know, and having somebody like you that I feel like has a really strong opinion about it, but like, I've said many times in the past 2 weeks where I'm like, yeah, but he's not going to win. And then it's always met from the other end of someone looking at me like Larry David and Curb, where they go, and I'm like, don't look at me like that, because now you're making me feel like there is a chance.
There's definitely a chance. I mean, it's not even a chance.
But there's a chance, but it's also like the chance that, like, I'm going to go pro in the NBA from getting discovered at the YMCA.
No, that might happen for you.
Well, okay. Well, now
you do have a sweet hook shot.
I appreciate that. I'm reevaluating a lot of things in my life right now.
Probably the odds, I think, of Donald Trump becoming the next president of the United States and leader of the free world is probably 27% chance. Yeah. That's pretty high. That's more than 1 in 4.
No, I see that as very low.
It's a large chance. It's a pretty large chance, man. 1 in 4.
There's a 27% chance I'm gonna, you know, break into a Baskin Robbins tonight and steal an entire jug of chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Either you don't understand how odds work, you're just gonna do that to prove me wrong. I mean, you can control that 100% if you want to. I mean, he doesn't make that 100%.
You don't understand how odds work.
He does have a crowbar by his foot right now, so I wouldn't.
He's fucking wanted ice cream all night earlier. He's like, "Leave! I want some ice cream tonight, really bad."
Looking to steal some creamery. You in?
They're going to have about 29 flavors in about an hour. You know what I mean?
By the way, that's the best exit line as you leave robbing a Baskin Robbins.
My career's over.
Good luck with the rest of those 30. They're like, what? What a dick.
Yeah, so look, I understand the appeal of Trump. I get it. I get the appeal of Trump. I understand it because people are angry and he calls it like it is. And I think his lack of political correctness is one thing I love about him. Mm-hmm. And I think he says some good things about business. I think it would be good to negotiate our deals harder and make sure we get better deals. And I think it's great that he calls out politicians for being easily buyable by just donations to their campaigns. That's all great. It's just unfortunate that it happens to be in the hands of this hating foreigners, racist, sexist, asshole, egocentric motherfucker.
It's amazing. Yeah. There's people in this country that I'm seeing at some of these rallies, and I'm like, I guess I knew you existed, but like to see them,
I didn't want to know you existed.
Yeah, totally. It's unreal. Yeah, I mean, literally, it's because any followers of, and we tour the country as comics, talk to people. I do a little bit of political stuff, not much, but I ask people what they think about Trump, and the supporters, you would wish they would say, look, I wish you didn't say those things, but I like his stances on business. But they're literally like, I have no problem with what he said. We do have to stop Muslims from coming in the country. And like, here's again why it's so wrong, is like, nobody has honest conversations about politics. It's a big thing. It's like, look, you can't disagree that obviously 95% of terrorism these days does come from Muslims, but it is from Muslim extremists. It's from Islamic radicals only.
Right.
And so he's right when he says, there's something going on, we have to find out what it is, okay? We gotta find out. Okay, we gotta find out what it is.
By the
way, right.
But let me just say something. That's something that I would say. You can't say what I would say. Like, I saw him say that when he was like, you know, 9/11 was bad. Paris, it was so terrible. What's happening in LA? The terrorist attack. So nobody knows what's going on. We need to figure out what's going on. Right. I'm like, that's literally what I've thought. You can't think what I think.
The president's the president's supposed to be better than me.
That's like when I ran for vice president in the fifth grade. I was like, things are bad. It needs to be good. And McDonald's at recess. You're saying the same shit.
That's a fair point. That's what Ted Cruz, in one of his few moments of being funny, criticizes Donald Trump about in the debates. He goes, these problems are complex, but they're not simple solutions. You can't just say, China bad, Islam bad. And that's really funny. That's true. But I disagree. Like what we were just talking about, they are normal people. Trump, normal, more normal than most. But you can have a simplistic view. You can say something's going on, we got to get to the bottom of it. That part of the statement's fine. Mm-hmm. All you have to also follow it up with is not, we should ban 1.3 billion people. We should ban 1/7 of the world's population and make those enemies. Anybody with a rational mind, you have to acknowledge, he's obviously fear-mongering because you have to acknowledge many Muslims serve in our armed services, have died for our country, and you know, even if they didn't, you don't want to make that many enemies around the world. So obviously it's true that you need to figure out how to solve the problem, but obviously also the problem is not every Muslim. Many Muslims, the vast majority, are our friends and are good people. Mm-hmm. So it's just that you have to just be able to hold them to account, and I think the media just fails. Well, that's why I'm trying to do the podcast again. They just fail horribly because, you know why? Because they want ratings. They want Trump on back. So they'll ask one follow-up, and he's great at dodging it, and they don't follow it up again. Literally, like he just said, after the riots at his rally in Chicago, the next day he has another rally and he says, what happened last night? We need more of that. We need a lot more of that. A little bit more of this roughing up. And then
punching people in the face.
In the face.
He's just a bully. He's just a playground bully.
In the debate, he gets asked, sir, are you condoning violence? And he says, I do not condone violence. And they let it go. Yeah. Isn't the obvious follow-up, last night you just said we need more violence.
You're right, dude.
That is the definition of condoning,
and that's
sir.
What scares me, the lack of follow-ups.
Yeah, because they're afraid for him to pull a Megyn Kelly and ban their network, and they lose the ratings.
The way that he bullies people at these rallies, he's literally one protester away from being like, take his lunch money. Tell that guy he doesn't get pizza Friday.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, his campaign manager's roughed
take
up.
Take him to the boys' bathroom. Give him a swirly. Give him a swirly. Sit down.
You know what you need? You need a good titty twister. That's what you need.
Can I just say, too,
yeah.
that I feel like I've heard a lot of people, I don't know if you guys have heard this too, but people say, like passively, we probably deserve this. Like America probably, you know what? We had it coming. Like this is coming. And what's weird to me, like as a brown guy, like I hear that from
I'll second that. You are
like thank you so much for vouching for me.
You're welcome.
But like I hear from like white dudes, like we probably deserve this. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, it's not happening to you.
Yeah.
Right. Like this wasn't a like if we went back to like the 1600s and there are like. Native Americans with their villages getting burned down and getting shot and like one white guy in the bushes going, oh, we probably had this coming. Like, it's not happening to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is great for white guys. Like, if we made America great again in that sense.
In that way, you know, that would be good for racist white guys.
For racist white guys.
But,
like, I'm saying, like...
But for guys like me that might want to bang a Muslim chick one time on
the
lawn.
Well, I just feel
like...
I have two Muslim ex-girlfriends. They're the best in the world.
I just feel like there's not a lot of brown guys...
I don't have Israeli, it's the greatest revenge in the world.
I just feel like there's not a lot of brown guys saying, like, oh, we probably deserve this.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, because they don't, because they've done nothing, they've done nothing institutionally wrong to our country. But it's so funny you say those exact words, because almost like you transitioned perfect. I wrote an article for Huffington Post recently, literally called Trump is the Candidate America Deserves. That was the title of it. And I compared him to Batman, and the whole premise of the article, I wasn't saying he's a good guy like Batman or a hero like Batman. I was saying is that he's this rich billionaire, put his name on all of his buildings, loves his toys, has a big ego, and his whole vibe is just... like this brash, beating people up, being aggressive. And my point was that for a long time, America has led a foreign policy of this ramshackle, just break things and worry about it later.
Right.
But we do it through normal political speeches and ideology and like politically correct speech that makes it sound okay. So we have this like real beat 'em up Hulk mentality. And what we do, but then we make it sound better than it is.
Yeah.
And so we're sugarcoating, so most people in the country don't realize actually what we're doing.
So, right. You think Donald Trump, to go with the Batman metaphor,
right.
Do you think Donald Trump is our Ra's al Ghul, where he's going to try to burn this mother down?
Yeah.
And we burn down Gotham to build it back up again?
Well, that might just be the unintended consequence. I mean, I've been saying in my stand-up bag that literally his followers justify everything he says. I actually say that exact phrase too. I go, Trump could literally say, if I get elected president, I will burn down America. And his followers are like, it's not a bad idea. Listen, I think America could use a good slash and burn. We could use a good leave the soil fallow for a year.
And now, what is it about these?
But let me say real quickly, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that not that we deserve it as a great thing, is that maybe what we need, like we should have let the banks fail when the economy crashed, because we keep putting band-aids over our real problems. What maybe we need is somebody whose words and rhetoric matches our actions,
so
we can actually for 4 years let the world and let ourselves see what we look like, so we're not sugarcoating
and
anymore.
Trump's that guy.
And then let us crash down and be like, oh shit, maybe
we're
this
bad.
Is bad. And at least maybe, hopefully, if he doesn't create World War III, which 50-50 he will.
So you think these pitchfork racist bigot crazies are like they could be the ones to be like, yo, let me just hold up a mirror in front of your face real quick.
They're the mirror.
That's you.
Yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Like what you see? They're the fuck. They're doing the the reverse Al Franken. I'm good enough.
Exactly.
I'm strong enough.
We are not good enough. We are racist enough. And let's see how this shakes down.
Because those are like we're all like chastising them, being like you crazy, like
they're
racist,
doing it for
like
us.
But also those types of people, like they are. I mean, you see them at the rallies. Like there's no way that they're fully educated, right? I mean, like
no, they're not.
Because you just can't be. I mean, and I don't want to sound completely...
No, I mean,
completely...
and crazily, he does win with some educated people, and he does win with some white people, but overwhelmingly, the one demographic he is coalescing with the Republican Party is blue-collar, less educated people who have this anger and feel like the system's
anger.
Not working for them. It's
coming
very
from
much
anger.
Anger-based.
Because
I think the angry dummy vote.
Yes.
That's strong.
But again, I don't want to piss everybody off. It's not all dummies. There's some smart people who just feel shafted by the system.
Like what you just said. They're in so desperate need of change.
Right.
And somebody to go like, hey, why don't we just have somebody like let us be what we are for a little bit.
Right.
And go through some shit and then make some serious changes.
Sadly, Bernie Sanders is also exactly that with much more noble purposes. He's on their side.
The
right.
Yeah,
but he's on the side of those people, actually. He wants to make the system not work for the billionaires and only work better for the lower and middle classes. But Trump's just a much better showman. He's a P.T. Barnum. He's much better at presenting as though he's this populist guy. He's so confident.
It's so confident.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Like literally, if you were to tell him, like, "Hey, man, you got a small dick," he'd be like, "It's your opinion. It's actually huge."
Well, you know, he actually did that in the debate.
He did that in the debate.
He actually talked about his dick size in a presidential debate.
That's right.
Literally, out of nowhere, he brings it up. He's like, Marco Rubio implied that I have problems with certain part of my body. Let me just tell you, there's no complaints, all right? Yeah, everything's fine, all right?
That's crazy. Can you imagine? Like, that is
presidential debate.
Can you imagine Reagan be like, just so everybody knows, Nancy's always satisfied in the pussy region?
Let me tell this. Jackie O, not only I give it to her good, but I've also been giving it to Marilyn. I've also been giving it to so many other bitches. You have no problems with my cork.
Sometimes, in a weird bit of foreshadowing, I've put bullets in other women's heads.
How do I know that that's foreshadowing? I have no idea.
I have unloaded on other women's facial areas.
I was the second gunman behind the grassy knoll on Marilyn Monroe.
Last night. Michelle and I put on Think Like a Man 2. And we did the dirty. Two times.
Oh, that's great. You love seeing Obama just
that wasn't
like
the question.
We actually said, what are you looking forward to most about...
this is the Kids' Choice Awards. We're so glad you came. But,
Yeah, it's very fascinating how it's going to shake down. I wish Bernie has a chance because I think Bernie would be the best against Trump too if people could literally support, because Hillary's got a lot of baggage. She's okay. Bernie's moved her to more progressive causes, but she's got so many scandals. Trump's genius at exploiting scandals.
Yeah, he's going to talk about those all the time.
He's going to say, oh, your husband is a liar. Your husband cheated on you. He's assaulted women, da-da-da. And he gets his chances. If it's Hillary against Trump, I think his chance to become president go up to about 52%. But if it's Trump versus Bernie, he's got nothing on Bernie. And I think it's like 35 Trump, 65 Bernie. There's nothing he can sling at him.
That's just going to be like two old men.
Old, angry, populist, anger dudes.
Yes.
I mean, I do enjoy the enthusiasm of Bernie versus Hillary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the...
He's got a story.
Yeah. I hope Hillary gets indicted for the email thing.
For real?
And her campaign tanks in the next couple of weeks. It'd be amazing.
She's going to win, isn't she?
I think she to become president is probably about a 60% chance.
And no one's happier than Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Whose impression has just gotten better.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'm really excited about her.
She nails that nervous laugh. Hillary's like, you wanna get on her page, you want it so bad, but they ask her any questions, almost like she's put off by answering questions. Literally like, Secretary, is there anything you could have done in Benghazi to protect our embassy more? No, there was not.
It's almost like this. Did you just fart in the elevator?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I smell it too.
I think you're still farting as you're laughing.
No. I smell it as well. I really do. I'm compassionate to your smells. I mean, she's stealing all of Bernie's lines.
And that does matter because there's a lot of people that just go off of the same way you did when you voted for, like in the fourth grade, I had a buddy, Barrett Speller. He ran for treasurer. He put up a poster that said, Speller's a feller. Vote for Barrett.
What does that mean?
I don't know, dude, but I voted for him because I like his rhymes.
He's a clever fella.
He was a popular kid and I liked his rhymes. He didn't have any sort of platform. The other kid actually knew about money. Barrett didn't know shit, man, but he won. So I'm saying that there is like a popularity, like outside theatrical element to it, right? Mm-hmm. And you think Hillary's just so tight and robotic.
So much theatrics. It's like, I think it's literally like 70% theatrics for people. And I don't know why I'm using so many statistics. Like, I'm Bernie Sanders. That's the only problem. I mean, you'd do better if you just speak a little bit more plainly, but he just gets so many numbers thrown at you. He's always like, the top 1% of the country get 80% of the wealth, and the bottom 40% get 9%, and 6%, you hope he nominates an Asian vice president just to do the math. His campaign slogan is, Bernie Sanders carried the one. I mean, it's unreal. Speeches. He's like, enough is enough. We will have a revolution in this country. I'm out of time. Okay, it's no problem. Hillary's good too. She's fine too. I mean, it's passionate, but it's a lot of numbers.
Is there an actor that, real quick, is there an actor, like Schwarzenegger obviously ran for office, like maybe the most, like Reagan sure was
amazing
an actor.
Amazing governor, according to him.
Yeah, but
it was fantastic. I terminated the deficit.
Actually, sir, you tripled it.
Yeah, I terminated it. That's what I said.
Triple them, right? Triple it. The last action hero just came out on Blu-ray. Pick it up. All right, dude. It's
Blu-ray is almost an obsolete format already, sir.
Red box.
You know, I one time fucked a girl so much in one week, and she had the red box.
By the way, please play Mobile Strike.
He's real about that He's fucking really mobile good. Game, man.
He loves
Mobile Strike.
But, you know what I'm saying? Like, he might be, like, Reagan was an actor, but Schwarzenegger, I just saw a clip of Trump on The Apprentice, and I literally was watching that being like, I remember when I used to watch some of that show and be like, I love that this guy just does this because it works for the show and it's entertaining.
Such a dick
because in that show I go, oh, you'll never be outside. You're such a caricature that how pompous and whatever you are is just going to stay in this little world. So that's why I loved it.
Don't we wish?
And the fact that it's not that anymore now makes me go, Ben, and you're just saying that they're accessible people. Who, if you could say, and we'll wrap up on this, actor, musician, anybody that you see, whether it's, I mean, people that have made very political, environmental, global stances on, whether it's Leo or George Clooney or that fucking, I don't know, Marissa Tomei. I don't know what she's done, but that's a fun name to say if you're filling in a ballot.
Sure. Yeah.
Rita Rudner is really pro global warming.
Rita Rudner could be fun
she
to say on the ballot.
Warming. Yeah, everybody she loves that. The global warming. Everyone knows that.
Who, in all seriousness, would you go, oh, if they ran or you would write them in?
Oh.
Like, as a joke, when I was writing Barrett Speller in, I also wrote in Pee Wee Herman because I thought that was funny and I was trying to make my friends laugh.
I would probably go Barrett Speller. I would go Barrett Speller all the way, probably. Yeah.
Well, he's a feller.
He's a feller, and that's a great thing to realize.
By the way, he didn't even... But this is Barrett Speller is a feller. There was no, like, attempt to try to have, like, a dot, 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 like any sort of collective haiku.
Yeah.
Like, no four lines, just...
Yeah.
Just anyway.
I don't know. Maybe Margaret Cho. I think she's great. You know, she always stands for great causes. She's great. Very smart mind. She goes for. She's very about human rights and equal rights and women's rights. I think she'd be very interesting. George Clooney stands for great things. I think he'd be good. It's hard to know. I think Susan Sarandon's got some good stakes, but I have a personal dog in that fight. So I find her very sexually attractive. You know, I don't know. It's hard. You know, I'm surprised. Honestly, it's a tangent that Trump allowed. Even didn't make us think of Arnold Schwarzenegger taking over for him on The Apprentice. You know, he was the big on the birther movement with Obama. He was 2 years ago. He was the big guy making Obama show his birth certificate. I'm surprised he didn't say, I'll be honest with you, the back half of Schwarzenegger's name was not born in this country. I'm surprised that didn't happen. I don't know. What celebrity has a great...
Tom Hanks?
I don't know. What does Tom Hanks stand for? The 60s? I don't know what he stands for.
Just
I don't know.
Everyone liking you?
I don't follow celebrity activism to that degree.
You don't want To Infinity and Beyond as your
I mean,
slogan?
He won against that volcano.
Oh, I don't know, guys. We're in it. It's stuck home together as a country. I've never tried a Hanks before. Was it okay? Or
can
it
can
horrible?
Be honest? I really can tell word. The way you backed away from the mic. You're like, I don't want all the audio to get right. Right.
Maybe from like people who think, if I ever heard Hanks from a distance.
That does sound like him screaming across the street at me. That one wide shot
he cast away, I could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, Wilson!
There it is. That's perfect. Not bad.
Plausible, right?
Remind our listeners once again, when does Idiot Test come back?
April 12th, our new time slot, Tuesdays at 10 and 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, every Wednesday. Every Tuesday, two episodes back to back.
Yes. Last Week on Earth, the podcast.
Every Wednesday it comes out on iTunes. Please subscribe. And Political Idiot Test, April 20th on GSN, you know. And that's it.
Where are you on Twitter? Ben Glebe.
At Ben Glebe, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, the whole nine.
Are you Snapchatting?
I just got on that about 4 weeks ago, and I'm obsessed with it.
Are you?
Oh, I love it.
Why?
Because you can post all day. There's no threshold for quality because it disappears. Mm-hmm. And so you just loose. You're creating content. The graphics are incredible. In the moment, you can like write on yourself and turn yourself into a fucking lizard. And then if you happen to create like brilliant moments, you download it and put that on the Instagram. It's like it's a studio in your pocket.
See, my one qualm would be the fact that you can't like rewatch it. But I guess we're living in a day and age where there's so much content and information coming through that people just go.
Anyway.
No, people go, oh, I saw that. Now show me that.
Right, so actually, that's what it does. It creates urgency. It makes your fans have to check every day because they're going
to
miss it.
So send your dick pics to Ben Glebe on Snapchat.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I prefer.
He can look at them, and then they will go away.
Female.
He prefers the female dick pics.
So he likes chicks with dicks. He likes chicks with dicks.
Why is that the fucking launch off? Send your dick pics.
Send your dick pics to Ben Glebe. Is that Ben Glebe on Snapchat?
Listen, I take it back. I'm quitting Snapchat, and I'd love to do your guys' podcast one day. I'd love to be on the podcast.
It would be amazing, by the way, if like we do have you back in a year, and the entire podcast, Ben's like just so like he's got like a 9-inch beard, and he's like, I've been inside looking at these dicks for the last 365 days.
I'm really into cock now, bro. You've killed me, Brad.
You got to check it every day.
A lot of them are fun size. It's not cool.
And thank God President Trump says dick pics are now the new.
I've never heard a complaint. Let me just be honest with you. I've never heard anything wrong. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for
Steve.
Me.
We're gonna you have to come back.
I'd love to come back
because I want to talk to you about being a music producer because I don't think a lot of people actually know what that involves, like being a producer of albums and creating that.
I can read up on that.
We did cover Lee's Brown since I've been here. At least a crass scratch on the surface.
People can pick me out of a.
Out of a lineup of non-Browns.
Yep.
Steve, is there any where can people find? Can people find your music online?
Back in his home country. Once I build the wall and make his country paid for it,
beautiful
wall. He'll be on the other side of it. It's gonna be 12 feet high, and if they offer not to pay for it, it's now 18 feet high. You fucking proud people.
It just got taller because when they're sending people over here, they're not sending the best. They're sending rapists, music producers, sending a lot of the dregs to society. I'll be honest with you.
Give them a titty twister. I'll pay for the legal fees.
Absolutely, I swear to God, I will. It's going to be a beautiful tootie twister.
Tootie twister
is going to look really wet, really wet, and really beautiful.
All right.
My music is I have a record coming out later this year, but it's not.
You'll come back when that's all ready.
I'll come back when that's all ready. Yeah. I have a couple of records I'm working on. I just did a record with this band called Thrice.
Yep.
And that's coming out this summer. And then I'm working on a record with Bad Sons right now. They're fantastic.
Are they?
Young band. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What Mexican store can we get that on audio cassette? And Trump's infecting me.
Okay, I was going to say
that's the question I deserve.
Trump is infecting our minds. We have to stop it. I respect you and your culture. I'm half Mexican
Steve,
myself.
Ben, just a quick update. So we met in sixth grade at music camp.
Really?
Right? And went to high school together
We
wrote letters back and forth to each other from sixth grade to ninth grade.
Until now. This is our first time we haven't seen each other since.
Are you guys dick picking each other as well? Because that's pretty incredible.
They were drawings.
They were drawings. By the way, Are You Guys Dick Picking Each Other is a spinoff on GSN from Idiot Test that you need to get.
It's a spinoff of Political Idiot.
It's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Are you dick picking each other? It's very similar.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to exaggerate your penis size when you're drawing it. People know that. People are aware of that.
People know that you said that. It's like, kids know what's up.
Everybody's
dude.
Aware
they know
of that.
That shaft ain't that deep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of them using black crayons. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast.
Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.